Terror on Every Side, The Life of Jeremiah, Volume 3, Darkness Falling. Written by Mark Morgan, read by Chris Morgan. Chapter 1, The High Priest. April 619 BC, the 20th year of King Josiah. My father sort of faded away. I am reconciled to his death, but I can never really be satisfied with all the missed opportunities. From an early age one looks up to one's parents, and a son should honour and admire his father. My father was admired by all, and was a master at keeping the peace, particularly with idolaters and pagans. His voice could woo enemies and friends alike. To hear him read the scriptures, when I was young, before his eyesight began to fail, was pure pleasure. 2 years before, in the 18th year of Josiah, when I returned to Judah after the discovery of the book of the law in the temple, I had noticed a little shakiness, a little caution in his step, a few signs of old age. His fall that night on the road to Anathoth had been the start of a gradual decline. He had never been able to walk easily after that, and had lived in the high priest's house in Jerusalem from then until his death. His eyesight had continued to worsen so that he could no longer read or even see very well, and his voice had begun to fail too. Increasingly, he had seemed to be sick with a cold, and he had begun to feel pain in his legs all the time. His pain was worse during the cold weather, and my mother had been rightly worried about him during his last winter. He had spent most of the time in bed. Shortly after the Passover, he had again got a cold. Then one day, about a week later, as he was talking to my mother, he had suddenly stopped, clutched at his chest, and then never spoke again. Before nightfall, he was dead, and the sad tidings had been carried to the king and to my brother Azariah. I heard the shocking news the next morning from the servant Azariah sent to convey the information. With my mother and father living in Jerusalem, I had been living alone in our house in Anathoth for most of the time when I was in Judah. Azariah and I walked to Jerusalem together that morning, and I think we were both in shock. For me, it had come as a big surprise, and I felt a great sense of loss, despite the fact that my father and I had had many arguments over the 7 years that had passed since that memorable night of my 17th birthday. For Azariah, though, there would not be only a sense of loss, but also a suddenly increased responsibility. The spiritual weight of a nation had fallen on his shoulders, and he must bear it without any advice from his father. We walked in silence for much of the way, and I wondered what the future would bring between us. The future had suddenly come much closer, and now my work as a prophet must involve interacting with a new high priest to deliver a message of coming destruction, which was now 7 years closer than it had been when I had first experienced the voice of Yahweh. Azariah and I had never got on well. He viewed me as an upstart idealist with a blinkered view of life, while I considered him to be sadly detached from the God he worshipped, more interested in the mode and means of worship than in the God who inspired our worship. The confrontations of the past could now easily become more common and more bitter. The day was a typical spring morning in Anathoth, sunny and warming quickly. Flocks of travelling birds still flew uncaring overhead, and Anathoth, perched on its unremarkable hill, remained as testament to the fact that life goes on, though the protagonists change. Roads recently mended after a cold, wet winter still carried people into and out of this unimportant village, inhabited mostly by priests and Levites. Yet one of its more important sons had left its streets never to return. Israel's leader of worship had finished his course. His work had been left to another, one of the next generation, a generation which would make its peace with God or not, as it chose. My father's work was done, but
Sample complete. Ready to continue?